Hear now the Word of God. I'm reading today from the conclusion of Psalm 119, verse 169 through verse 176. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May He add His richest blessings to our reading and understanding of it this day. One final time in Psalm 119, King David asks the Lord for help. He cries to the Lord for help. He has already told us that he is surrounded by enemies, that there are those who persecute him without cause, and even among these are leaders in positions of authority over him, princes such as King Saul. And so we find him surrounded by his adversaries, and he turns to the Lord and he cries to God once again for help from that situation, for deliverance from these enemies. He seeks that answer, however, in a particular way. He asks the Lord, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Now, that word understanding can be translated discernment. And we have seen in this psalm already that what David is asking for is the ability to be able to distinguish between things that differ. In other words, to be able to tell right from wrong, to know the difference. This comes about from a study of the Word of God. As God opens the Scriptures to David's heart or to your heart or my heart by the work of the Holy Spirit, and enables us to understand what He says, what God says, and the distinction that God Himself makes between what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong. And all of that is done through the Word of God and through our Christian experience for the glory of Almighty God. And so this discernment comes about primarily through a study of God's holy word. He gives enlightenment to the student of the Scriptures. In other words, you're not simply to pray for discernment and then expect God to open heaven and drop discernment on you full blown in such a way that it is already developed all together in your life. But instead, you are to study diligently the Word of God if you expect God's blessing upon you. And so you pray for God to bless your study, your hard study of Holy Scripture, and you ask God to teach you how to learn to apply His Word so that you will have discernment from the commandments of God, the precepts, the teachings of the Word of God, so that you can apply the Scriptures to your life in whatever circumstance, and therefore be able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, or what is good and what is evil. So pray for help, Christian. Apply yourself to the study of the Bible if you want to be able to increase in your understanding and in your ability to distinguish from right from wrong. As he prays to God and cries out to God for help, he makes his supplication to the Lord. Let my supplication come before you, he says. Deliver me according to your word. Now, that term supplication means a plea for mercy. It's a plea for mercy for yourself or for someone else. And so the particular type of mercy that David asked God for in this situation is deliverance. And that word deliver or deliverance is a very broad term. It can refer, of course, to deliverance from sin by the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It can refer to deliverance from enemies that surround us as they surrounded King David. It can refer to deliverance from false accusations made by such enemies. It can refer to deliverance from temptation to sin in our own lives or any other type of deliverance. And so David cries to the Lord. He offers this plea for mercy, and the plea for mercy specifically is, please grant me deliverance. Now, all of those things that I've mentioned already are mentioned in the Word of God. They are various kinds of deliverance that we see throughout Scripture and even in this Psalm, Psalm 119. This is the place that David turns to the Word of God for his comfort in the midst of trials and difficulties and persecutions. And so you, Christian, you also are to seek deliverance from the Lord whenever you face trials or temptations, whenever you are surrounded by enemies who hate the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever there are false accusations leveled at you, and especially, of course, for deliverance from sin in your life by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. And so whatever kind of trouble you find yourself in, Christ is the answer. You can cry to God for deliverance. You can offer up your plea for mercy, and God will hear, and God will deliver you as He promises and as He shows in Holy Scripture. Next, David writes, "Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes." The only perfect teacher is God Himself, and He has taught David His statutes from the Word of God. Now, in return, what David promises the Lord is, having learned these things from God, he will respond by offering up from his lips praise to Almighty God. He's learned this instruction from the Lord. He has learned to respond to God with praise for all of that instruction that he has been taught. And that's a proper response for all believers throughout all of history, not just for David in the Old Testament, but for you and me today as well. It is proper when we learn something from God's holy word, when we are instructed in the path of righteousness, that you and I are to offer up from our lips praise to Almighty God in thanksgiving for what He has taught us. And so it's a joy, it is a delight to come to understand things from the viewpoint of God Himself, from the commands of Holy Scripture. What a delight it is to know those things and then to begin to put them into practice in your daily life. And so it's proper when you see how the Word of God applies to a particular circumstance in your life, it is a proper response for you to offer up praise to God, just as David did in this place. We ought to do that on a regular basis for all of the things that we learn from God's holy word. In the next verse, David asks God to allow him to sing, his tongue to sing of the word of God. He says in verse 172, "Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." Now, another translation of that word sing is answer. So what exactly is being said here? If we take this to mean answer, as J. Adams does in his commentary on Psalm 119, or as the King James Version translates it, then the idea is that God speaks to you in the pages of Holy Scripture. He addresses you, and you respond to Him in prayer. And so it's a conversation where God addresses you, and you reply back to Him in prayer. If the word is translated sing, and it all depends upon the context, of course, then what is going on here is not as much a conversation as a joyful delight and response of your heart to what God has to say in His word that He has enabled you to understand. And so you are responding with a sense of heart delight and heart-filled joy to what God has said to you in His holy word. Now, either translation is possible here, and we find Bibles that translate it those two different ways. And so it's possible, perhaps, to combine the two ideas together in one. They're not in conflict. Basically, what could be said here is that as God addresses you in the pages of Holy Scripture, it is proper for you to respond to Him. You can respond to Him by prayer as you answer to what God has commanded or what God has taught you. Or you can respond with joy and with singing and with delight in your heart as you reply to the Lord in praise. And so either of these things or both of these things are certainly appropriate. This is the way that you and I as believers ought to respond to the Word of God. There are commands that we read in Scripture where we reply to God and we answer what God has to say. We promise to God that we will do those things that He has commanded us through Christ. Or there are things that delight our hearts so that we burst out into song, praising God for the wonderful greatness of His righteousness revealed in Holy Scripture. Or there might be times that we cry and we weep because we see our sin. And so all of these emotions are proper responses to the Word of God. Now, the reason that we respond to that Word is, as David says here, it is righteousness. Now, you'll recall, as we have seen that term used already in Psalm 119, that the term righteousness has to do with acting in a proper way according to a particular standard. And the standard that is set forth in Holy Scripture is the righteousness of Almighty God Himself. God Himself is righteous. All of His deeds, all of His actions, all of His commands are righteousness. The Word of God conveys that righteousness in what it teaches to us. And so as we look at the Word of God and we see that it is right, that everything, every commandment that God gives is in keeping with His own holy nature and His character and His definition of righteousness. And therefore, we respond in faith through Christ, our great Savior. And so if you want to know what righteousness is, turn to the Bible. Look at the pages of Holy Scripture. Look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you see righteousness lived out before sinful men. And therefore, understand that there is nothing that God commands in His Word of you, believer, that is out of keeping with holy righteousness. All of His commands are true and righteous altogether. David continues to pray to the Lord for help. "Let your hand be ready to help me," he says, "for I have chosen your precepts." So David's prayer is to ask the Lord to extend His divine hand to help him in the midst of his difficulties. And he says to God, "I have chosen your precepts." You see, the Bible teaches that obedience to God is a choice that we make. Now, David was faced with the choice of the way of obedience or the way of disobedience, with the choice of following after God's precepts and His teachings and His commandments, or of following his own will or following some pagan idea. And David says specifically, "I have chosen your precepts." Now, it's important to remember, believer, that no one can ever choose God on his own. What has to happen, of course, is that God has to have chosen that individual for salvation in eternity in the past, in election. That God has to redeem that individual in time and in history. And the way He does that is to send forth the call of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. He has to regenerate a person's heart so that he becomes born again, so that he becomes alive. He has to implant in that individual the gift of faith and then move that person to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And as a result of having done all of those things, then the believer is enabled by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, to then begin to choose to obey God in Christ. It's a natural or actually supernatural choice that comes about because of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. And so it takes a prior work of God upon the human heart and the human mind to make you able to choose God. Otherwise, you would never choose Him and you would never choose His precepts. Without such a work, everyone would be totally unwilling to choose God or what God says. But because God has redeemed David, because God has given him the gift of faith in the Messiah to come, because God has worked upon the heart of David, God has enabled David to choose to obey him. It was David's choice, although it took this prior work of the grace of God for him to even be able to make that choice. You also are to choose, believer. You're to choose to follow God through Christ. You are to do that and realize that no one can do that until God regenerates a person. But then it is the new response of the redeemed heart to choose to follow God through Christ. Anyone who says he's regenerate, who says he's a Christian, but does not choose to follow God, but chooses to continue to live in sin, is actually lying. John tells us that in 1 John. And so we understand that we are to live lives of obedience as proof and fruit of faith in Christ. And the only way to do that is to be regenerate. But it inevitably will follow that you will, believer, you will choose to obey because it is in your new, renewed nature according to Christ to do so. And so can you say with King David here that you choose the precepts of God over all competitors? One of the marks of the redeemed soul is that it takes delight in the law of God and the salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. He expresses his longing and he expresses his delight. His longing is for God's salvation. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, when he says that he longs for God's salvation, he could mean a couple of different things. He could be talking about looking forward to that day when God would send his Messiah, and we know him as the Lord Jesus Christ, that God would send his Messiah to be the Savior who would give his life a ransom for many. And so that time was future for King David. It's past for us, of course. And David could mean that he is looking forward with great anticipation to that day when God would accomplish all that he promises and send the Messiah as his Redeemer. For us, of course, we look forward to Christ's second coming, since Christ has already come the first time. We look forward to his return from heaven. When he does do that, he will come as the judge of the living and the dead. All men will be raised to stand before him, and we will all give an account of every word, every thought, and every deed. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so we look forward with longing for the return of Christ from heaven. He is our great Savior, and we look forward to that. Or David could also mean that he is longing for deliverance, salvation in terms of deliverance, from his enemies that surround him, from the trials that have come upon him because of various afflictions. He could be longing for physical deliverance from physical earthly troubles and trials. But in either case, whether it's longing for the first coming of Christ from David's perspective, or whether it's longing for deliverance from earthly persecution and earthly trials, David looks forward with longing and delight. Now, you and I also as Christians are to look forward with longing and delight for God's deliverance, for God's salvation. We obviously are looking for Christ to return from heaven and accomplish all that he has set forth to accomplish, and it will be the final end of all things. But also in this life, we can be looking forward to God's delivering us from the various temptations and trials and troubles and difficulties and afflictions that we face day in and day out. And so we should look forward with such longing, as David expresses here, that God would indeed show to us his salvation. And we should, in doing that, take delight in God's holy law in which he expresses his perfect righteousness. We should long for that and desire that and take delight in the expression of righteousness that is revealed to us in the Scriptures and fulfilled in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. David continues to pray, "Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me." So in addition, what David is praying to the Lord for is this physical deliverance that we mentioned. He wants to be able to continue to live. He's been surrounded by enemies. He's been surrounded by those who wish to do him harm or perhaps even to kill him, as Saul attempted to do at least twice with a spear. And so he is close to death, and therefore he prays for extended life. But he desires that life be lived in a particular way. He desires to live so that he can praise God. Now think about that for just a minute. We often pray for ourselves or for others who, when we're ill. But the question is, do we want for us or for another person to simply continue to live physically? Should we not rather wish that God would answer us and allow us to live in such a way that we bring honor and glory to Him, that we continue to serve Him and to live our lives for His glory? We are not just asking for extended life. Think about King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. Hezekiah was told to get his affairs in order, that he was about to die. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord to spare his life. And God did. He granted him 15 more years of life. Now, how did Hezekiah use that particular time? Well, there are two things that he did that were not glorifying to God. Number one, when the enemies from Babylon, who would be future enemies of Israel, came to Jerusalem, Hezekiah showed them all the treasuries of the Lord's house. And so he set the stage for all of these things to be plundered. And number two, during that time, he sired a child who would sit on the throne after him and become king. And this was one of the worst kings of Judah ever to ascend to the throne. And so during that time that Hezekiah had extra life, he did not use it to raise this boy in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as he should have. And so, obviously, a prayer for longer life ought not to be simply to postpone death or to escape some kind of pain, but it ought to be for the purpose of glorifying God during that time, bringing honor to Him and glory to Him in whatever we're doing during that time that's extended. And so if we ask the Lord to spare our lives or the life of someone else, it ought to be to glorify His holy name. It ought to be done in such a way that we can praise God for what He has granted to us. And so we are to seek to praise Him as a result of His answering that prayer for living, not just to postpone our death. And so to that end, you and I, as David did, are to turn to the ordinances of God. Because in the ordinances of God, we see how we are to live in such a way that we please God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so it's the Word of God that instructs us how we are to live in that way. Our prayers ought to be for the glory of God, and that we might be able to continue to live to serve Him and to praise Him all those days that God would give us in our lives. Finally, David concludes Psalm 119 with what some might consider to be a startling confession, but for Christians it ought not to be that startling. He says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." Now, David is concluding this by saying, "I am like a lost sheep." Now, unlike dogs that can normally find their way home if they become lost, even though it sometimes takes a long, long time for that to happen, sheep cannot do so. when sheep are lost, they can only be recovered by a shepherd finding them and bringing them back. They remain lost. Sheep are very dumb animals. They have a tendency to follow one another, and they will follow one another to destruction without even realizing that. And so when God likens us to sheep, or when David likens himself to a sheep here, this is not a flattering thing. This is a confession that I am dumb and I wander into sin, and I need a good shepherd to rescue me. That's what David is saying. He's saying the same thing that the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans. That is, in his flesh dwells nothing that is good. Therefore, he is a wretched man. He is in need of deliverance from the Lord. He needs a good shepherd to seek him and to save him and to bring him back to the fold. And that's exactly what happens. Seek your servant, he says, for I do not forget your commandments. And so this good shepherd that David needs is none other than Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep. He tells us in the gospel according to John, for example, that he, as the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep, that he is the door to the sheepfold, that he, as the good shepherd, seeks and saves that which is lost, that he is the good shepherd who calls his own by name and they follow him. And so this is the one for whom David is longing, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ seeks and saves the lost. He sought and he saved David. He brought him back again from wandering from the valley of the shadow of death that David has mentioned. He brought him from straying away from God back to himself. And that's what he does for you and for me also, Christian. And so at the conclusion of this psalm, let's think about the fact that Jesus is the good shepherd, that he has sought his own, he has sought his people, he has found you wandering far astray, and he has picked you up and placed you upon his mighty shoulders, and he is carrying you back home to the sheepfold, and particularly back home to heaven itself. And so we conclude the psalm thinking about our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who goes after all who are prone to wander, who are his sheep. He finds them, he picks us up, and he carries us on his broad shoulders to heaven to be with him forever. What a marvelous, wonderful blessing, and what a great way to conclude this powerful song.